Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We are here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
And it's our last episode of 2025.
I can't believe it.
How did that happen?
How many episodes do you think we did?
Oh my God, I don't even know.
I mean, this is overall episode 117, but for this year, let's just say 100.
So many.
So many. Oh, our producer said too many, I think.
No, I think so many.
But Jeff enjoyed all of them.
I know, especially because you bring candy for him and me and everyone.
Well, I had a major fail on the candy last time, so I tried to up it.
Yeah, that's true.
Up my game. Yeah, it happens.
It happens. That's all right. It's good, good to experiment because you just never know.
Yeah. Don't trust a gas station in the middle of Central California.
Well, there you go.
That's my advice to you all.
Good advice. Good advice.
So, great year for, partnerships. Let's talk about partnerships because we'll get into our guest for
today.
Theme
of the show today. I know it's been a great year for partnerships, 2025. Some pretty exciting highlights. I mean, we've kind of continued all of our sports partnerships. Really exciting with the San Francisco Giants launching the first wine club in Major League Baseball. So San Francisco Giants Wine Club presented by Sonoma County Wine Growers. So that's been fun. So we're kind of entering, I think we're going to be going into like year four with them.
That's
which is
pretty great.
Really cool. And then continuing our partnership with the Coachella Valley Firebirds, which is the minor league hockey team down in Palm Springs, the desert, which is cool because they, you know, now Alaska Airlines is flying direct from Santa Rosa down to Palm Springs, making it super easy for folks to go down there or come up here, importantly.
I just booked a round trip myself.
I love it. I love it. Well, maybe I'll be on it because I like going down there
a
lot.
I know you do. All right.
And then, obviously, the Houston Rockets, Landry's restaurants. Oh, my gosh. And are entering our second year with Let Us Entertain You restaurant group in Chicago. So, all the things. John Deere. Talking back connected to Ford. I mean, there's just a lot
on.
Of great partnerships. Guild Somm, Food and Wine. Yeah.
Not too shabby.
I know. Somm Journal. Meredith, give you a shout out. There we go. I know. Got to get. I'm like dropping a lot of names. This is going to be like a good episode to tag because they're going to be able to tag.
It's very true.
Like 15 partners. So, but it really is. I mean, when you think about Sonoma County as a wine region, I mean, partnerships are such an important thing for us, but also a really great way for us to sort of do business. I mean, we have very small budgets, so to partner with organizations, companies, sports teams, restaurant groups that then can use their reach and awareness to help us get Sonoma County wine in front of more people. It's kind of a good model.
It's the best model and a very important model going forward in 2026.
Yeah. And we're going to hopefully have even more partnerships in 2026. That's my prediction.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. I love it. So we will take a quick break and then we will talk a lot more about another partnership on today's Good Stuff. On the last episode of The Good Stuff for 2025, we are excited to invite in studio our guest, Danny Bernstein, CEO of Reservoir Farms. Thanks for coming in.
So fun to be here. Happy holidays, you guys.
Yeah, same. So we were, before we went on air, we were talking about where to go running. Carissa had some good ideas.
Yeah.
And
some places to avoid. Not like being sure you don't marry into a Dodger family.
Yes, we
that,
had that
was also an
that
important
thing.
Part
of
something that we talked about.
We talked about
critical vetting.
If you're a trotter, a turkey trotter or not. I say I trot alone.
You trot alone.
I love I trot alone.
I trot alone. That could be like my theme song or something.
Right. But you were explaining, you know, Steve is very good at parking semi-trucks.
Yes.
He has lots of skills.
Yes.
My trotting.
Husband, trotting is not really his skill.
Yeah.
But he can drive any piece of equipment and I'm amazed. I sometimes like laugh because I'm like, oh, you're getting really close to something when he drives because, you know, I'm the annoying driver in the passenger seat. And then I'm like, he's like, you know, I can back up a semi with 1 inch on both sides and like park it. I'm like, yeah, you probably know what you're doing. So I have to like remind myself that he's actually a very good driver. Right.
He's adept. Has Steve been in a Waymo?
No, he is not.
Okay.
Would that be a frustrating experience for him? Would he try to tell it what to do?
Probably. He would be frustrated on Waymo's behalf at the drivers that are around Waymo, because he really likes to talk to other drivers around us.
I would be.
How does he? He's a social driver. He's a car
very,
to car.
Yes, yeah. He's a very like what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I do that too. Yes, I will say I do that too.
So, and it's really funny. Well, I'm just gonna spill all the tea. So, like he loves it when he's not in his typical truck, so no one knows who he is. Because I mean, there's just like all the farmers have their trucks, and like you kind of all know. Like we know what the Sanchettis drive. We know what the San Giacomos drive. We know what the Duttons drive. We know what every different ranch here has. Like whether they have their brand, like their maker, or they have their colors, or it's branded. They all have their things. So when he's sometimes I still have my dad's truck, and it's this like dark brown Ford, which does not match any of the other ranch trucks. Sometimes he's in that, and he loves it because he can just like
be incognito.
He feels like incognito Steve.
Ooh, but not anymore.
I know. Sorry, blew that one.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to paint
okay,
it.
Okay, let's cut that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
First
Jeff,
edit.
We're gonna need you to edit.
Yeah,
that,
we might have to edit that out. All right, so Danny, I guess we get off track very easily. Just so
here
you
we
know.
Are. Yeah.
Here we are. But tell us a little bit more. Okay, so we want to know a lot about Reservoir Farms, but we also want to know about you. So you had mentioned earlier you are from San Francisco, true?
True story, yeah. Okay. I grew up in San Francisco. I went to Davis. Yeah, and you know, I spent close to 20 years in Silicon Valley and got really interested sort of in the tail end of how technology connects to more like local regions and rural environments. And I started to think about technology less like for luxury or like yet more tech, but like tech to solve real problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I before that, I spent 10 years at Google, a couple years at Microsoft. So I had this sort of really almost like this classic Silicon Valley kind of
very much.
Experience.
So what's it really like?
Yeah, exactly. Whatever, exactly how they portray it, you know, in movies and all that, free food and all that sort of stuff. And really kind of an environment of abundance versus scarcity. And so I got really interested in and what does it look like to start to build tech for areas that really need it. And so about a year ago, there was a intrepid reporter who wrote about us in wine business. Okay. And I told her, you know, we don't have any plans to do things in wine yet. And I'll explain what things are. And what that was basically building little villages where young startup companies, tech startup companies, could be side by side solving problems for growers.
Okay.
And that was Reservoir Farms. It was kind of a tech meets the farm in a really integrated way. And I told the reporter, we're not planning anything for wine yet. We're just really early. And she said, you know, I don't care. I'm going to write this up. I think it's interesting. And I think the first person to open her email that morning, probably at, you know, 6:01 a.m., you know, right after it hit the wire, was Carissa. She sent a note. And
I did not let the dust settle.
Yeah.
You talk about intrepid.
Yeah.
Here we are.
And that was it. And that was about a year ago.
It was.
And
yeah.
And so then a couple of weeks ago, we cut ribbons. And that was
officially
amazing.
Launched.
Yeah.
So was the email sort of like, what do you mean you're not going to work in wine? Or, I mean,
no, it was
you
a
know?
Solid LinkedIn pitch, I think, is what I did.
Right. And I did, I'll admit, I did a little background. I was like, is this person the real deal? And it came back with an emphatic, yes, this is the realest of the deals. This is
thank you, ChatGPT.
And I looked up Chris's background. I was like, CEO Sonoma County Wine Growers, Wharton. This is a quite an individual, and that of course is true. And we got on the phone and or got on Zoom, and I think really I know clicked and saw eye to eye, and it's just been incredibly rewarding to build it together.
So, at what point did the agriculture side come in? Because I mean, you grew up in San Francisco, big urban, you know,
yes.
very famously urban city.
Right. I had AstroTurf in my backyard about this much.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
that
Davis is a little bit more rural.
Yeah,
you're getting
is.
A little bit more exposure to sort of the ag side of things. I mean, they are the Aggies.
Yeah.
And then you're at Google and Microsoft, which I don't think you know think. A lot about the earth? I
no.
don't know. Could be wrong. But
not really. They do, and then they need to build data centers, so they don't. And then
right.
they, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Right. So at what point are you starting to think about agriculture as a yeah. area of interest or an area that you could help benefit?
Yeah. So I was always very interested in California. And sort of California stories. So by virtue of going to Davis, I spent a lot of time in Sacramento. Growing up, I read, John Steinbeck, all the Beat Generation poets and, you know, everything I can get my hands on. So I kind of always, in some ways, gravitated towards sort of more of the natural. But I had to make money. So then I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to spend time in Silicon Valley. That's what seems like the right thing to do. But then when I had a little bit more flexibility after having at least a 20-year career, I was able then to ask, like, where do I really want to focus? And is there an opportunity to combine a lot of the things I'd learned with areas where there's a lot more, an opportunity to combine a lot of what I learned with what I think where I can make a big impact? And we actually spend time sort of looking at where are there opportunities where technology can make an impact. And we looked at various sort of natural environments. We actually spent a lot of time looking at the ocean because I live in Monterey County.
Yeah.
And Monterey County, for example, just kind of gives you a sense of our method. Monterey County has the aquarium, Monterey Bay Research Institute in Barrie. There's the Hopkins Marine Station, which is Stanford. So there's actually a lot of ocean-related research in Monterey County, but there aren't ocean startups. And so you basically have the most density of ocean PhDs and an incredible hospitality industry associated with it, but no tech startups solving environmental or related kinds of challenges. So that was in one way a look at one sort of opportunity, which is like, should we actually focus on ocean? And then the other opportunity was to go to the other side of what they call the lettuce curtain and think, okay, well, are there opportunities in agriculture that we should be thinking about? And it turned out that there was a lot more gravitational pull toward agriculture because of leaders like Carissa who said, no, we need this here. And in ocean, there isn't as much of that. It's just a different environment. We can talk about it. But that you really felt that pull, that imperative. And then about this time last year, even before that, we said, you know, let's just focus. Let's focus on the future of technology for specialty crop agriculture. And I love wine country. So it felt so natural really quickly.
Yeah, and what was really exciting for me was really about Danny's approach, where I feel like we have opportunity to interact with a lot of startup companies. Tech comes to us, new equipment, and they're always like, okay, I've got this thing. And I'm like, well, what can it do? And then they tell me, and I'm like, but we don't need that. Or I'm not sure where we would use that. Or that's a great piece of equipment, but you know our row spacing and vineyards are, 6x4, 8x6. They're not, you need different equipment to run through these rows or hillside vineyards. And so Danny was like, I want to bring these companies here, have them meet the growers, talk to the actual farmers, find out what they need, like where are their pain points, where are they investing a lot in labor or time, where there'd be real savings that robotics or tech or some sort of, mechanization could help with. And then let's bring those people and help. Let's build it from the ground up so we know we're creating something of value that actually supports our farmers.
There's obviously like a hospitality bridge between Silicon Valley and Sonoma County. That exists. People vacation here. They love it here. Yes. There's that connection. But there isn't really a technology bridge. It's in some ways, it's almost like an impossible, chasm to cross. So basically, you could be a extraordinary roboticist. You went to Stanford, Carnegie Mellon, you know all the AIs and all the MLs and all those things. But then to solve the first thing in wine or to solve something that actually matters is really challenging. It requires an almost like supernatural amount of activation energy. And there are a couple of examples of people who figured it out. But they really are the exception, not the norm. And so tech right now, like applying tech to ag, actually works best for people who are really good at building relationships with growers.
Yeah.
But it's actually less good for people who are just amazing at tech.
Yeah,
right.
So imagine if you could provide that bridge to them, and they didn't have to be charismatic. They didn't have to be as scrappy. They could just show up and build robotics that help sustain agriculture. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of that sort of relationships as a service, trust as a service, learning as a service was basically achieved through a partnership. And that's basically what Reservoir is doing with Sonoma County Wine Growers.
Okay.
I know.
I mean, I want to know more about
the... I told you you would love it.
I know, I do. I want to know more. I mean, you mentioned Steinbeck. So, I mean, you're in the heart of it down in Monterey. And that you mentioned the lettuce curtain. So what is that? I mean, when you refer to it that way, what does that mean?
Yeah. So a lot of our coastal counties basically have two realities. They have sort of the coastal economy, the hospitality-driven economy. And then, of course, you have extreme pockets of wealth, and you have a lot of service traffic that goes one direction. And so you have a lot of people who are like staffing hotels and cleaning hotels or doing those sorts of jobs. They go one direction. And they almost are like two different realities, two different economies. So if you look, for example, at Monterey County's tourism economy is multi-billion-dollar. Its ag economy this year was $5 billion. But those economies are almost not interrelated at all.
Separate, yeah.
They have different voting patterns. They want to use water differently, et cetera. So that difference is called the lettuce curtain in Monterey County. Mm. I know this is a Sonoma podcast, but but I think that the idea that you're creating more awareness between between how, let's say, food gets on your plate or wine fills in your cup is part of what we care about. And to be able to explain how there are massive technology opportunities, massive economic opportunities to serve growers. Growers have huge production budgets. Mm-hmm. They are looking for technology that can make them more efficient, that can save them money, of course. So there are significant opportunities. And so the lettuce curtain in Monterey County is a real thing. And I think a lot of what Reservoir is trying to say is that technology can be applied to these areas that might appear as legacy industries, but have significant opportunities and aptitude and hunger for modernization.
Well, and I love when we first started talking, Danny, you mentioned just, I'll call it passion, which maybe is a little overused, but a passion for like really caring about where your food comes from and preserving agriculture and, you know, being excited about where you live and the state of California and what the future looks like for our rural communities. And maybe just expand on that a little bit, because I think that's what really connected with the farmers themselves was just, you know, what you care about.
Yeah, absolutely. The sustainability of agricultural economies is a strategic issue for the world. It's certainly a strategic issue for California. We have a $60 billion agricultural economy. It's really the backbone of our rural regions. But there's nothing guaranteed about it. Mm-hmm. And so if you were to take a county like Sonoma, a county like Monterey, a county like Fresno, which are billion-plus ag economies, really rurally driven, and if you were to really study the sort of how delicate the economic balance is and how difficult it is to sort of make that work, what you can extrapolate out is that we may be one generation or two generations away from not having agricultural economies in California. Mm. So then the question is, should we care? Why should we care? Does anyone care? Well, there's some folks who say, I want to know where my food comes from.
Yep.
There's some folks who say there's a national security imperative to being able to have our own food supply, to not being solely reliant on Latin America for fresh vegetables, for fresh produce, etc. And then there's another element of it, which is if we take away agricultural economies really from the fabric of California, California becomes a completely almost hollowed out rural environment. Mm-hmm. And we become this sort of like Hunger Games like thing where you have, yes. I mean, and basically where areas like this become the districts. And then you have the capital where everything flows. And we've seen this happen.
Wait. Okay,
sorry.
So we need to take a quick break. So, but save that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was about to go to my post-apocalyptic rant. So that's a good time to cut off here.
Back on the guitar. great stuff with our guest, Danny Bernstein, CEO of Reservoir Farms. And we were getting a little dark there, Danny. So
I'm going to pull it back up.
Pull it back up a little bit.
Sorry.
I mean, you know.
It got a little strange.
I liked where it was. Well, I didn't like where it was going. But I think it puts an exclamation point on the real risk we're at for California and agriculture and the need to really have innovation to save legacy.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Innovation as resilience. Innovation to help farms work economically, to make it pencil. And then we could play out, we're kind of a bit cheeky about like, what happens if it doesn't work?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if we're not able to grow wine grapes in Sonoma County? What happens if we're not able to grow strawberries on the coast? And then and we can think about it. There's an economic impact, there's a taste impact, and all these different things. So that's the mission of the reservoir, and that's sort of the spine of the reservoir. And we look at decisions through that lens. Does this help make agriculture more resilient?
And you have two other reservoir locations that are clearly not as great as Sonoma County,
but it's fine.
Whatever, it's fine. No, but I think the model you're choosing, so just to talk about that, about being focused on specific crops, especially crops in certain areas and not really overlapping those, so they're sort of like hubs.
Yeah.
So maybe just mention Merced and Salinas.
Yeah, I mean, our goal, starting with our goal for Sonoma County and in our Santa Rosa location, the goal is for this really to be the densest collection of ag tech startups focused on wine grapes in the world. And you can't go anywhere in the world and find, let's say, 5 or 6, 7 or 8 companies all focused on building tech for the same commodity in one place. That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you could come to Sonoma County and see that, and ideally that grows over time, and it really feels like an Olympic Village where we have companies from Australia, companies from Israel, companies from New Zealand, of course, companies from the U.S. sort of working side by side. That's really exciting. It happens that the first 3 companies that we're welcoming, one of them is a Canadian company, another came from Cornell, another came from the Bay Area. And they'll be spending a lot of time locally and really integrating with the Sonoma County region to learn, to get to know people, to build trust. And then our Salinas location in Monterey County is about strawberries, leafy greens, and vegetables. And then in the fall of 2026, we'll open in the Central Valley, in Merced County, North San Joaquin Valley. And that will be melons, peppers, tomatoes, carrots, and then permanent crops as well, but no wine. So everything wine will be directed towards Sonoma County.
So now you know why I opened up the email and was first on LinkedIn to message Danny to make sure if there's only going to be one ag hub, tech hub for wine, we want it here in our backyard.
Yeah.
And literally it's in our backyard at the Sonoma County Wine Growers office. So it couldn't get even any more in the wine growers' backyard than at our office.
Yeah, and it was so fun at the ribbon cutting when people who came didn't know that was the location, and we surprised them.
Yes.
They thought they were coming to like a ribbon cutting event to announce a future location, but then we're like, actually, no, it's right here. Let's see the shop.
Roll up the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Roll up the doors.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been in there.
Yeah. So it's really exciting. So at the wine growers' home office, for folks that don't know, we're on a vineyard. It's essentially was probably going to be like wine production / tasting room / house with a warehouse shop on it. And we use the sort of the house space for our offices, our boardroom, et cetera. But the warehouse is really a big shop that we've been using for storage. We have a wine refrigeration unit in there, obviously, of course.
Obviously.
And that's still there. All the hospitality. But yeah, we were able to like sort of petition 2/3 of this big shop for Reservoir to sort of rent, lease, and bring in equipment and
precision
partners.
Equipment. Yeah. So now robotics companies building smart implements, building robots, building drones, they can actually work on the equipment there and then walk it out to the vineyard and do tests. And then every single day there are growers that are coming through and they can talk to them. They can get feedback. So it's so exciting. Carissa, it was Carissa's suggestion. What if we built Reservoir here because the local grower community, their board, and then really kind of the extended community, including farm workers and their families, they're really comfortable being there.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's an environment where there's a lot of comfort from different aspects of the community and the community college, which is really exciting. We're working with SRJC, and they are going to be bringing students by several times a year, which will be which will be super cool as well. So we think that this sort of integrated model really helps.
Yes.
And AgTech requires usage by people who work on farms. And if you're doing it in obscurity, like let's say if you're building the tech in San Francisco and then you cart it up to Sonoma County, it actually, the risk is that it could be the best tech in the world that's not used.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think this idea of that Carissa had, which was to integrate it into the Sonoma County Wine Growers campus, will be really exciting to watch unfold.
Mm-hmm. So how do you figure out which companies to work with? I mean, what is your sort of vetting process? How much are you working with the wine growers to figure out who's a fit? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. So basically, we've worked on developing a sort of set of ag tech focus areas that apply really strongly to certain commodities and less so for others. And then we work with the growers and the associations to kind of get that feedback. We end up hearing from startups directly, like they reach out to us. We probably hear from about two or three a day from around the world. And then we also have ones that we specifically pinpoint because we like the team, we like the tech, or we hear that there's a specific theme. Is it precision pruning, for example, which is an area that's getting a lot of discussion right now? And so then we identify a couple companies. Some of them might have tech that is already doing precision pruning, and we want to bring them to Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. And then there also might be tech that is in ag or even outside of ag that we think, gosh, this might work for precision pruning. Why don't you come on over here and actually learn and think about how to do this? And then, of course, we have our most important criteria, which is no. Can I say that on the air? I just did.
No problematic people. No problematic people,
because we are trying to build a community that's part of this experiment.
Yeah.
And wine is so much about community. So this idea that these startups can actually work side by side and they can learn from each other. And they don't reinvent the wheel, and maybe they can integrate their tech in some way. Mm, so
even better.
Yeah. So those are some of the things that we look for.
And Carissa, from your standpoint, like, do you have a wish list?
Well, it's so funny you say that because we're putting together sort of a grower advisory group that Danny and his team and these startups can really use as their like first line of feedback, which is great. But there was this aha moment, I think, for our farmers and our board because it's a little obscure. I mean, they talked about my husband at the beginning of this, but they know how to drive all this equipment, they know how to farm, but to wrap their head around something that they don't even know is possible that could help them is a stretch. Mm-hmm. So, but we had some of our growers out with Danny and team, and literally Danny and team were just like, well, we're standing here in a vineyard, like what takes time and labor? Mm-hmm. What's frustrating? Where do you spend the most money on people making passes in the vineyard? I mean, and you couldn't stop them talking. It was like, da, 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 like we use this, and it's how do we manage weeds, and how do we denude the vines and pull leaves? How do we do these things that really aren't, I mean, they're precision, but not so specific that you actually need a person in there.
Right.
If you had some great robotics or mechanization. And it was like, well, we could build that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you could do that? Yeah, that's possible. And so I think that was this moment where like, at least for some of our growers, like literally they lit up and said, wow, if we have this resource in our backyard that's actually literally trying to solve our problems, make us more efficient, save us money, which is how we're going to survive, then that could be such a huge win. And then showcase, and we're excited about Sonoma County being a showcase for other wine regions to come, other farmers to come here, other tech companies, and extend our hospitality. It's a win-win. Win-win-win.
Yeah, it's going to be such a fun year. I mean, this is so neat to be able to do this sort of right after Christmas, and then we're about to be at New Year's, and think, gosh, there's so much in store for next year. We'll have startups starting to come on. So it'll be such a year of learning to watch these companies working side by side, to be integrated in this way, where they can just sort of look out the window of the shop, make an observation about, let's say, something that looks inefficient, think about it. What if we bent our metal a little bit this way? And we're really excited and so appreciative.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back on The Good Stuff. good stuff to wrap things up with our guest, Danny Bernstein, CEO of Reservoir Farms. And I mean, this is just an incredibly exciting thing for 2026.
It is.
What are you most excited about, Carissa?
You know, I think the thing we don't talk about that often is that we're literally bringing jobs to Sonoma County. I mean, you, as Danny and Reservoir, is recruiting these companies to come here that would not have any other reason to come here if they weren't being attracted to this sort of model of innovation. So we're actually, I mean, we're literally driving economic value for Sonoma County, and also this idea of upskilling our workforce. So, you know, we do a lot, Virginia, you've been really involved with our foundation, and Danny, you know, something we really connected on is sometimes innovation and tech can be, people get fearful that it removes jobs. But I think in this case, we're really excited because it's actually going to help build the skill set of our employees. So I don't know if you want to add to that. But
no, it's absolutely right. I think that what part of what Reservoir aims to do in Sonoma County is bring new employers here. Mm-hmm. So actually, while we're sitting here, I just got an email into our website from someone named Oleg, and they are a Lithuanian, no joke, a Lithuanian robotics company, and they are primarily focused on wine grapes. Huh. And so that if we can get them to come to Sonoma County, I think it's one flight? I'm just kidding.
We have an airport.
We do have an airport.
Does it fly direct to Lithuania?
Yeah.
And so if we can get them to come here, they become a net new employer.
Yeah.
And then they can work with our local services, with the wine growers, to help hire locally, to help bring in interns. And then there's also thinking about mid-career professionals or farm workers, mm-hmm. incumbent farm workers, and how we introduce ag tech to them, mm-hmm. and train folks up and get their feedback. So doing all this like tech in a place like Sonoma County, like there's a huge potential for like really inclusive economic development and really building models that I think the state will get really excited about and be able to say, hey, it's happening. It's happening in Sonoma. Like, check it out. Like, you're doing it. There's so much talk about inclusive economic development, but like, we're going to do it here.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it for folks who are coming out of SRJC or Sonoma State, and then they don't have to leave because their job's here. And then I think just as important, we're doing it for the folks who might have been working in wine grapes for 30 years, and now there's more and more tech, and it's going to get more integrated. So yeah, we're absolutely about that. I think it's a huge opportunity.
Yeah, no, I love that idea, too, of just anybody who's interested in tech, no matter what stage of their career, rather than always thinking of going south of San Francisco, go north of San Francisco. Like, there can be a whole new way of thinking about tech for other applications.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. So, I mean, for years now, I think we've been saying with our Farm of the Future effort, we've been really wanting to be positioned as the Silicon Valley of ag tech, mm-hmm. and... Well, thank you. You're helping make that possible for us.
Just check that off the list. Right. Exactly. Just a dense startup community. And then a few of those startups grow and they become employers of, you know, 30, 40 people. And then a few of them get to a few hundred. And then we have to think, how do we accommodate them and help them grow here and sort of spread their wings a little bit and have some stories, because those will inspire others. And then a few of those folks will start another company and will get little networks. So it just takes time. And these startup communities take time, but we're taking the first steps really this month.
So are you spending, you know, with Oleg as an example, like, are you spending time like on the road trying to get in front of people? Like, how is anyone finding out about what you're doing?
Yeah, that's a great question.
He's everywhere.
Well, I mean, I imagine
a lot of tread on the tires. Like, literally I had to replace a tire yesterday. A lot of ag tech, circulates in communes online, and so we spend a lot of time thinking about how we reach folks online. So it happens that ag tech really like lives on LinkedIn of all places. It's not on Instagram. That's really more like the consumer side of wine is on Insta or TikTok, but the professionals are really on LinkedIn. So Oleg from Lithuania found out about us on LinkedIn. I would encourage people who are listening now to throw us a follow, and that is a great way to track what we're doing. We do pretty regular events in the community as well. We call it the Gathering of Friends. We'll pick a wine bar locally. Mm-hmm. We'll have to get a recommendation and a place where folks can stand around and get 40 or 50 people. We'll get growers. We'll get people from the community. We'll get students. So we do those and we announce those on LinkedIn. Right. And so we want to figure out sometime in the first few months of the year when to do our first one in Sonoma.
And I can't wait.
Yeah, no, what a great idea. So, you know, people always think tech, everything's online, but you're actually trying to do the in-person side of it as well.
Yeah, that's one of our things that's worked really well. And then growers come and startups come. We, you know, people might drive, you know, 3 hours from Palo Alto to come to Sonoma, bad traffic, and then they get to talk to 10 growers. They're like, oh my gosh, I learned so much. And I'm like, yeah, you're here for one day, but imagine if this was every day, like how much you would learn, how much you'd accelerate. And so there's a lot of talk about like why ag tech hasn't worked, but like we can accelerate ag tech. And I think that what our pitch will be to Oleg and to other founders will be like, if you want to accelerate and you want to work with the most impactful growers in the most impactful growing region in the world, like get here, don't just be a tourist. So so that's our pitch.
All right. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us on today's Good Stuff and for all the work that you're doing. Find out more at reservoir.co.
Yeah, reservoir.co. Reservoir.com, it will cost me about $1 million to buy.
Okay,
so
well, we don't want that.
I think we're going to go reservoir.co.
Perfect. All right. Thanks again. Things up on the Good Stuff. I think that was really, really interesting.
Isn't it? I know. And what was great, I have to say my first, without actually knowing Danny, my first blush, I was a little, you know, before I got to know him, worried like, okay, here's this tech guy. He's going to come up. Can he actually, I don't want to say, hang with the farmers, right? Like, will they find him legitimate? And because in order to literally trust someone in your backyard, have someone really at our Sonoma County Wine Growers office, and sort of, you know, offer our growers to be part of that conversation and dialogue. Like, you kind of have to get along. And so he, you know, Danny and I met, and I was super impressed with him. But I was like, he hasn't passed the grower sniff test yet, right? So, but we did plan a lunch. He drove up here, and we planned a lunch with some of the farmers. We had toured Santa Rosa Junior College with Mark Sanchetti and Schoen Farm. And it was just, I remember just sitting back, and it's just like, he was so engaged and asked such great questions and was so just, frankly, authentic and likable and earnest about wanting to support the farmers, that they just really liked him immediately. And it was just like, okay, we got to go to our next meeting. And so I think that, I mean, so much of it's just Danny, who he is and his vision for this. And, you know, I just am really excited about the potential.
Yeah. So. Well, and sometimes it can be so helpful to have somebody from a different world and who's seen a lot of other places come in with fresh eyes too. So that's, I think, some of the partnership value as well.
Yeah, and just even, you know, Danny's has a very different network given his experience than we do here, and that connection about both tech, but then the other connection around hospitality, I think is going to be really great as we think about, you know, building this partnership.
Yeah, interesting insight. Okay. Yeah. Well, with that, I think we have a lot to drink to.
A lot to drink to. I know. What are you gonna drink when we're drinking to a lot?
Or
are you drinking a lot to a lot?
No, I just enjoy a glass of wine. And Tuesday I'm gonna have a Saris 2024 Saris Ranch Toots Rosé.
I love it. Toots.
So Toots is
was Taylor Saris, but Taylor Saris's nickname, because supposedly she had attitude, so they called her Tude.
And then I thought it was like an older relative. But
I think it's both, but I kind of always like the Taylor.
Okay, Tudes, well, Taylor
she's probably going to call me and tell me that's all wrong, but she had Tude, so maybe it's just Tude.
Anything Toots is too funny.
No, I think that is a family member. So, and she's a pilot farmer, so that kind of goes into the Reservoir Farms, and I am going to actually have a Munsell, and he brought this for my birthday, but it was a 2010 Magnum of his Cabernet, of the Munsell Vineyards Cabernet. It was so good that I tracked him down and got another bottle. So I think in honor of the holidays and Reservoir and all good things, I'm gonna open that. That's a Magnum, so you should probably come over.
Magnum show you care.
Yes, they do.
Okay, well, who are some of the other, are there any other partners that you want to like mention?
Well, I was going to say, I think we didn't mention a Reservoir. John Deere actually has made a big investment in Reservoir Farms, really looking at them as kind of an incubator for potential scalable tech that John Deere would care about. And then I just think irony of all ironies is literally back in 2017, when I started the Sonoma County Ag Center, kind of a mini think tank. I remember Joe Dunn sitting in a room and goes, well, why do we need a think tank? Like, what's that going to do? Like, we're going to think up having like an army of robots go out and do all our farming. And I'm like, well, wouldn't that be great? And well, I was able to tell Joe a couple weeks ago, we might actually get that robots out there helping us farm.
The robots are coming.
The vision. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that. Good time.